life of love. All is finished now. All that he left his throne above to do for us below. No work is left undone. Scriptures have fulfilled. In perfect love he dies. For me he dies, for me. All atoning sacrifice I bring by faith.
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people, Holy Lord God, holy Almighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, leave us not to bitter death. O Lord, have mercy. Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over to be delivered to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my word and refreshed you with living water, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink. O my people,
holy Lord God,
holy and almighty God,
Holy and most merciful Redeemer,
God eternal, allow us not to lose hope in the face of death and hell. O Lord, have mercy. Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could I have done, could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people, holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, keep us in steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy. God, our Heavenly Father, has not forgotten the promises he made purely by grace. He sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to bear our reproach and to take the punishment due each of us. His Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts so that we put our faith in the Savior. Our sins are forgiven for the sake of his innocent suffering and death and glorious resurrection.
Amen.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Please be seated.
Sing, my tongue, the glorious battle. Sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross, the trophy, sound the loud triumphant lay. Tell how Christ, the world's Redeemer, as the victim, won the day. Time was come, he, the Word, was born a woman, left for us his Father's throne, blazed the path of true obedience, shone as light amidst the gloom. With 30 years accomplished, he went forth from Nazareth, destined, dedicated, willing, did his work and met his death. Like a lamb he humbly yielded, his dying breath. Faithful cross, true sign of triumph,
before all the noblest
tree, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thine equal be. Symbol of the world's redemption, for the weight that hung on thee. Unto God be praise and glory, to the Father and the Son,
ages run. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on the cross, your Son experienced the forsakenness we deserved because of our sins. Grant that we ever hold firm the faith that because he took our place, by your abounding grace, we are now your sons and daughters. Through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this commemoration of our Lord's death and Good Friday is from the letter to the Hebrews in the 4th and 5th chapters. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Savior who gave his life for us, let us rise now to hear the words of his gospel. From the Gospel of St. Luke in the 23rd chapter. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly, I say today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated for the hymn.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Again, from that gospel reading from the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. We pray, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was an old series of children's books back in the 1950s and 60s that had the title, We Were There. And it was a series of 36 little historical novels, each of which featured one or more children as primary characters in the story. And the idea is that the young children who read these books would be able to identify with the children in these stories, and through their eyes and through their experiences would be able to experience that history as if they were actually there. And hence the title, We Were There. And the novels took children back to historical events like the Battle of Alamo, the Boston Tea Party, the opening of the Erie Canal, and other such events, almost as if that history was happening right then, right there, and they were there. Well, that African-American spiritual that we just sang, Were You There, has much the same effect on us as we sing those repetitive lyrics that are so typical of songs that were sung by African-American slaves. We can almost see that scene at Calvary unfolding before our eyes. Jesus being nailed to the cross, lifted up between earth and heaven in bitter anguish, the darkening of the skies, those long periods of anguishing silence punctuated by the few words that the condemned were somehow able to get out. And it's all as if it were happening right now. And there, too, is that criminal who is crucified next to Jesus. And he is begging, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But this is not going to be a memorial service for a dying criminal. But rather, I want to encourage you tonight to put yourself into this story as that dying malefactor, so that through his eyes and through his experiences, you will remember this day as if you were there, as if you were the one speaking the confession of your sin and listening to Jesus' merciful words and remembering that promise of paradise as if it had been spoken just for you. We were there. Now, as we read from Luke's gospel, these two criminals are quite different. One of them is railing at Jesus, taunting him to do something to save himself and to save them, if indeed he is really the Christ, which was really just mockery. And the other was telling him to knock it off because Jesus is so apparently, obviously innocent. But from Matthew's gospel, we learn that, at first anyway, both of these criminals were giving Jesus a hard time. Matthew says, and the robbers who were crucified with him, both of them, also reviled him. Now, I want you to understand something. These are some really bad players. These are the worst of the worst. Luke uses a word that is reserved only for these men in the scriptures, and that is the word kakurgos. It means a malefactor, criminal, but those are hardly even strong enough to translate that word. That word is based on the word kakos, which means bad. These were some bad actors. These were the worst of the worst. I don't know what we would equate it to in our world. Maybe we would equate it to those merciless MS-13 Mexican gangsters, or maybe the Tren de Aragua gang members who are so merciless and brutal. That's the guys who were crucified with Jesus. And as hardened criminals, you know, they weren't exactly have a conscience. They didn't exactly feel remorse and guilt about what they had done. You know, much like the Israelites, if you remember this story back in the book of Exodus, how they downplayed their guilt when they were worshiping that golden calf. Moses came back down from Mount Sinai and he saw the calf and he said, what's this all about? What's going on here? And Aaron says to him, well, I threw all this gold in the fire and out came this calf. That's how it said. Out came this calf. Perhaps the most ridiculous and insipid excuse in all of Scripture for sin. And it would be funny if it weren't also us. Because we make excuses too for sins, which to God must sound absolutely ridiculous. And like that criminal, we are kakurgos. We are the worst. We rail against the very notion that we should be so harshly punished for what we have done. And that, in Matthew's gospel, that's both of the criminals. They have that same attitude. But apparently, by the time Luke reports what he sees, one of them has changed their tune. And I always wondered why. Well, I suppose, you know, crucifixion has a special way of forcing you to confront your own mortality and of compelling you to ponder what's going to happen to you after you die, and after you die very soon. And maybe that's what it took for this man. Maybe it took crucifixion to break him, to soften his hardened heart, and to penetrate his spirit. He was a kakurgos, but maybe it took crucifixion to break him. That and he also read the sign above the head of Jesus that said that Jesus is a king, and he heard Jesus' gracious words praying for the forgiveness of those who had crucified him. Who prays like that? And no doubt he saw the peace with which Christ was accepting his fate. And he changed his mind. He repented. I guess seeing true innocence right there before his eyes, the true innocence of Jesus, he realizes what he is by contrast. And he stops making excuses for himself. He admits to the guilt of his sin and to the justice of his punishment, and he rebukes the other criminal, and then he asks Jesus to remember him in his kingdom, which of course Jesus does, and promises him that that very day they will be together in paradise. Now, with those children's books that I talked about at first, the idea was for you to insert yourself into the story through the eyes and the experiences of those children. Tonight, let's insert ourselves into this story through the eyes and through the experiences of this dying thief. Are you willing with him to admit what you are? Through their eyes, let's experience what happened when Jesus was crucified, because that's where we belong. We belong on that cross with that malefactor, with that kakurgos. That's our part in the story. And maybe that's offensive. Do we really compare to these criminals who were so bad that there was a special word reserved for people like them? Kakurgos? I mean, I understand, we are sinners, I get that. We're not perfect people, but we are hardly kakurgos. Certainly we are not as bad as him, and we're a lot better than a lot of other people. But as soon as we say that, are we not just making excuses for our behavior and trying to justify ourselves and saying to God, we don't really deserve to be punished? Are we right with God because our sin isn't as bad as somebody else's? Are we good before God because someone else's sin is worse than ours? No, not according to the Scriptures. The Apostle James says, "For whoever sins, or for whoever keeps the whole law, but fails at one point, is guilty of all of it." All of it. What's worse than that? being guilty of all of God's law. Now, St. Paul understood this truth about himself when he called himself the worst of sinners. But we have to say, Paul, move over, because we were there too. And you may not have that title, the worst of sinners, locked up. Anyone who says that he is just a little sinner, anyone who says that she is just an insignificant sinner, has it all wrong. We are each the worst. We are all kakourgos. We are the criminal. We've broken the entire law. How can it be worse than that? And we are by nature the objects of God's wrath. And so God's word drives us to repentance, just as it did that hard-hearted kakourgos on the cross, drives us to repentance until we confess that this is what we deserve. We are the very worst. And the death on the cross really would be a fitting punishment for us, what we deserve. And what changes our minds to bring us to that point? What is it that gets us to stop making excuses for ourselves, stop downplaying our sins, stop blaming everybody else, and start confessing our sins instead? What is it that moves us to ask Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Is it not Jesus himself and his words? When Paul wrote to the churches and he laid out their sins for them and told them how far they had fallen from God, those were hard words. They were words that caused grief in the hearts of the Christians, but Paul did not apologize for that. He did not apologize because, as he says to the Corinthians, godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation. And that's the kind of grief that the Spirit of God worked in that kakourgos, that hard-hearted dying criminal, a grief that overcame his pride and brought him to repentance. And it was immediately followed by salvation. Today you will be with me in paradise. The Passion of the Christ was written for us as though we were there, because in truth, we should have been there. We were there. We should have been the ones who were nailed to the cross like that criminal, paying the just wages of our offenses against God. And if we can see ourselves there at that scene, as that crucified criminal, if we can put ourselves into this story as those nailed to his cross, maybe we can stop making excuses for ourselves long enough to look at the one who is crucified on the center cross and listen to him. Arguably, those who crucified Jesus were the most heinous of criminals because they killed the very Son of God. And yet, can you hear the voice of Jesus praying for their forgiveness? Can you see his innocence? And yet, the peace with which he accepts his cruel fate? Can you see even there's a joy in him as he dies on the cross? For he knows that his death is the salvation of many. Will you cry out to him in the confession of your sin and implore him as the King to remember you when he comes into his kingdom? Can you hear him in the hour of your death promising you, today you will be with me in paradise? Then blessed are you, for this is a Good Friday indeed, for to be crucified with Christ is also to live with Christ forever in his kingdom. And his promise is for you, for every repentant kakourgos who begs to be remembered by him, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, so that where I am, you also may be. I will remember you. I will remember you. And you will be with me in paradise. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Now, having heard this word of God, we join to sing in response the words of the dying thief as we plead to Jesus that he would remember us when he comes into his kingdom. We will sing this refrain 5 times through. Let us rise for prayer.
Let us pray for the whole church, that our Lord God would defend her and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy, so that your church, spread throughout all the nations, may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all the ministers of the word, for all vocations in the church, and for all the people of God.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers we offer before you for all your servants in your holy church, that every member of the same may truly serve you according to your calling, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for all the catechumens, that having received the remission of sins, they may be mindful of their baptism and evermore be found in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and understanding of our catechumens, that rejoicing in new birth by the water of holy baptism, they may forever continue in the family of those whom you adopt as your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty.
O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of man, and because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do well all the powers that exist in all the nations of the world, we humbly implore you to graciously regard your servants, especially our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray our Lord God Almighty that he would deliver the world from error, disease, and famine, set free those in bondage, and grant health to the sick, and a safe journey to all who travel.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error and gather them into his family, the church.
Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death but the life of all, hear our prayers for those who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for peace, that we may come to the knowledge of God's holy word and walk before him as is fitting for Christians.
Almighty and everlasting God, King of glory and Lord of heaven and earth, by whose Spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, the God of peace and the author of all concord, grant us, we implore you, your heavenly peace and concord, that we may serve you in true fear to the praise and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy, and grant them such things as are profitable for their salvation.
O Almighty, everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance and may have the same love and be of one accord and of one mind and heart with us and with your whole Christian church. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his will.
O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word you created and you continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his dwelling in our hearts we may by your grace be made ready to receive your blessings on all the fruits of the earth and whatever pertains to our bodily need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. The Tenebrae service, commonly held on Good Friday, is a somber service that recalls Jesus' suffering and death through readings and music and the gradual darkening of the sanctuary. The Latin word tenebrae means darkness, reflecting the service's focus on the darkness of sin in our world that compelled Christ to suffer in that darkness for our salvation. This service is a time for reflection and meditation on the events of Good Friday and of the immense cost that our Savior paid to redeem us to the Father. Tonight's Tenebrae readings from the Gospel of St. John and the prophet Isaiah will be interspersed with stanzas of the hymn, Jesus I Will Ponder Now. And we join then to sing the first of those stanzas.
Jesus, I will ponder now on your holy passion. With your Spirit me endow for such meditation. Grant that I in love and faith
Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples entered. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, also knew that place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing that all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with him. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now, the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once the rooster crowed. This is God's word.
Make me see your great distress, anguish and affliction, sounds and stripes and wretchedness, and your crucifixion. Make me see how scourge and rod, spear and nails did wound you, how for them you died, O God, who with thorns had crowned you."
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this or of your own accord, or did others say it about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to him, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He enters his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "Will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." This is God's word.
Grant that I your passion view with repentant grief, but its cause to me make known, and its termination. I also am my sin, brought your deep affliction.
From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out, sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." This is God's word.
Grant that I your passion view.
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scriptures, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "To fulfill the scriptures, I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Word of God.
If my sins give me alarm and my conscience grieve me, let your my fear disarm, peace of conscience give me, help me see forgiveness won, by your holy passion. If for me he slays his son, God must have
Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness, his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. The Word of God. Let us rise as we sing.
Graciously, my faith renew. Help me bear my crosses, learning humbleness from you. Peace mid pain.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is God's word. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.